24 paws drummed on asphalt. Every mutt wore metal identification tags that jingled in rhythm with their stride. The dogs held their slick noses high, picking up as many scents as each of their 300 million scent glands could hold. Occasionally, a smell overwhelmed one or the other, and they skimmed their snouts over the ground for as long as our speed allowed. My husband, Mason, and I were walking a pack of 6 dogs at the Springfield Greenway on a June afternoon. We had 7 canines with us, but Miss Annie rode in a papoose strapped on my husband's chest. She only weighed 6 pounds. Foot traffic was busier than normal on the bridges because of a county-sanctioned free fishing weekend. People sitting on coolers, folding chairs, and blankets lined the banks of the Sulphur Fork Creek. Fishing lines dangled in the air. Red, blue, and green bobbers speckled the water's leisurely moving surface. By far, most people commented on Miss Annie, our Yorkshire Terrier, who was perched on her rear with her front paws hanging on the papoose. She had walked a mile earlier, then plopped down in the middle of the pavement. It was her way of letting us know she'd exercised enough. Annie felt me watching her and turned. We held each other's gaze. We checked in on one another, a brief moment of eye contact, a second of reassurance, 100 times a day. A middle-aged woman, who wore the aged look of hard living, approached us on the bridge near the old waterworks plant. Her skin was an orange brown, as though she spent hours in a tanning bed.
"Y'all dog walkers?" she asked.
She abruptly reached for Miss Annie, and Annie ducked into the pouch. Besides being adorable, my terrier was a snob. I explained we volunteered for a Robertson County rescue agency called Free Love. Her eyes widened. They were an aquamarine blue, the prettiest feature in a face lined with deep grooves. Her hair ended in a frizzy bob. She pulled it back with a headband decorated in polka dots. It looked like a child's accessory.
"Y'all help folks here in town?"
She sounded southern, gruff, a full-time smoker's voice. "In Robertson County," I answered.
"My name is Bernice Lee, and that there's Trey," she said, pointing to a man sitting on a lawn chair.
He wore an eye patch and a do-rag with the American flag printed on it. His foot, propped on a bucket, was wrapped in a cast. It was a lot to take in at once, but even in those first seconds, from the way they talked to the way they dressed, the Lees wore the unmistakable sheen of poverty.
"I got a litter of newborn puppies in my backyard nobody wants," she said. "I thought about calling animal control, but they ain't worth nothing."
I perked up as soon as I heard the word puppies. Mason often accused me of being puppy stupid, meaning any time one was near, I lost all common sense. Beyond their cuteness, intoxicating breath, and cuddling abilities, I loved watching them play. Chestnuts, dandelions, ants, sticks, pine cones, and worms fascinated them for hours. Dogs in general, but especially puppies, confirmed my fundamental belief that happiness is found in simplicity. "I'm pretty sure Free Love can help," I said. Mason's gaze burned into the back of my skull. I had no idea if Joan Pryor, the nonprofit's head honcho, would be willing to help or not. Joan was a 70-year-old Southern belle with a melodic voice and a backbone of steel. More often than not, when I called her about the strays running up and down our country roads, she couldn't do much more than listen. Free Love existed on $6,000 a year.